Last week we launched a new sermon series, Why Nobody Wants to Go to Church Anymore. I don't know if some of you noticed, but we had two people that were new that came, Mick and Jean, and we're so glad to make your acquaintance. But there are so many people we talked about in our culture that aren't coming to church, and the attendance patterns have been in decline for many years and continue in that trajectory. And so we wanted to talk about why. Last week, I introduced you to Tom and Joni Schultz, the founders of Group Publishing. And in the book they wrote by this name, Why Nobody Wants to Go to Church Anymore, they studied this and they interviewed many people and they found there were four recurring themes. Some people said, I feel judged when I come to church. Some people said, I don't want to be lectured. Some said, well, church people are a bunch of hypocrites. And some said, your God is irrelevant to my life. And so last week I posed the question, what are we going to do about it? And I told you what I thought's the best thing that we could do about it, and that's this. We need to stop going to church. Yes, I said that. Your preacher told you. We need to stop going to church. But I mean it in this way. We need to stop going to church so we can be the church. And so in this sermon series, we're going to talk about what we can do to make things different. We're going to talk about four acts of love to make our church family irresistible. Last week, we talked about having genuine humility. And we defined genuine humility with four characteristics. Number one, being sensitive to people around you, being welcoming to everybody, but also being intentional about relationships. We need to practice initiating and developing relationships with new people, and we need to, above all, be authentic. So this week, as we talk about the second way we're going to make our church family irresistible, I want to start off with a few questions. And the first one is this. Why do you come to church? Why do you get up on Sunday mornings and come to church? Is it because, well, that's what I was taught to do? Has it become a habit? Are you coming out of some kind of duty or obligation? Are you coming to give a weekly nod to God and hope everything else in my life works out okay? Do you come to see friends? Why is it that you come to church? A second question is, what are your expectations when you come to church? What is your mindset when you come to church? For many Christians, I'd like to suggest that the weekly repetition of going to church week after week, Sunday after Sunday, becomes mundane, monotonous, routine, and let's face it, some people say it's boring. And I think when this happens, it's because we don't have a proper understanding of what worship is. You see, we got to remember that worship is not about us. It's not about me, and it's not about you. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I'm not going to go back to church because I don't get anything out of it? I don't like what I experience there. We got to remember it's not about us, and it's not about what we get out of it. You see, worship is all about the Lord. It's about the church family coming together to worship the Lord together. We are coming into the presence of our Creator. We are coming to worship our King. Now, I've heard some people say, well, I can worship God better when I go off in the woods by myself. Well, hey, if that works, that's great. But the very people that often tell me that don't often go into the woods to worship God. And while there is certain value in worshiping God personally, and I hope you experience that during the week, there is something special about the people of God coming together to worship the God that we love together. And so today, the second part of acts of love that make our church family irresistible is what I'm going to call divine anticipation. That's why I asked the question, what do you expect when you come to church? Do you expect the routine? Do you expect the ritual? Do you expect the boring? Or do you have some anticipation that something special is going to happen because God's people are together? When we think about divine anticipation, I think it's important, firstly, that we recognize that God is seeking each and every one of us. I'm going to say it this way. God is seeking you. Did you know that? In this world God has created and planted you, He is actually seeking a relationship with you. Think about radio waves. Radio waves are always there, but you might not be able to hear them unless you are tuned in. Now, you know, in the Old Testament days, when God rescued His people from slavery in Egypt, He led them out with a pillar of clouds in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. And when they camped around the tabernacle, there was this visible presence of God that commanded people's attention. And so they worshiped God and they brought their sacrifices to the tabernacle. But you know, today it is so easy to lose focus because we are bombarded by all kinds of things around us. The TV, the radio, the computers, the internet, social media, the phones, the advertisements, all of these things are constantly flooding our minds because people want our attention. And sometimes it drowns out the voice of God that also wants our attention. In Gospel of John chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman at a well around noontime. None of the other women came with her. They didn't want to be with her because she wasn't considered to be a moral woman. And Jesus engages her in a conversation when He asks for water, and they start talking about worship. And Jesus says this to her, "The time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him in that way." So when God looks at you and your worship, does He see you worshiping in spirit and in truth? You know, sometimes when people come to church, we got some people who are looking at their watches, some people wanting to get on with their plans for the rest of the day. But I want to ask you, have you ever been involved in a conversation, or have you ever been visiting with somebody when you could tell they were distracted by other plans and they were there with you, but they weren't really present with you? Have you ever experienced that? I wonder if God feels that way when we come to church. Are we really focused on worship, or is this just one of many things we have to do this day? But the Father is looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. They really want to be here. They want to gather with the church family to worship Him. I think a second thing that we need to do in terms of divine anticipation is to ask God to open our eyes. The opening song today was all about that. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see You. I don't know if that was a new song to you or a familiar song, but that's a message that we need to ask every day. God, open my eyes to You. Help me see You. In Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 19, Paul actually prayed this for the believers at the church at Ephesus. He said, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be opened so that you can understand the wonderful future He's promised to those He called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance He's given to His people, and how very great is His power at work in those of us who believe." Paul wanted the eyes of believers to be opened, and I think we need to pray that each day. I think a third part of divine intervention is expecting God to show up. Now, I don't mean that God lives in this building. There was a time during the period of the tabernacle and the temple that, yes, people had to go through a priesthood to meet God and to have their sins forgiven through the sacrifices. But there's something special about when God's people come together. You may remember these words of Jesus from Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there with them. Isn't that powerful? Even if we have a small group, Jesus has promised, if you're gathered together in His name, He's going to show up. He's going to be here. So when we sing our songs of worship, when we pray our prayers through Him, He's here with us. And that should change our whole attitude. I mean, think about it. How would you come to church differently if Jesus was physically going to be here? We put it out on the sign, hey, Jesus is going to be here today. What kind of crowd do you think would come to see? But the truth of the matter is, He is here with us every week when we worship because He promised He would be. But we need to expect that God is going to show up. Now, last week in Adult Bible Fellowship, we were reading in John chapter 1, and we were reading about when Jesus called His first disciples. And Andrew and John were the first ones who were disciples of John the Baptist, and they heard their master say, hey, there goes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And John and Andrew followed, and they got to know Jesus and saw where He was staying and listened to Him. And then Andrew went and got his brother Peter. But then, a little bit later, Jesus called Philip to follow Him, and Philip got his friend Nathanael. And he says, hey, we found the Messiah. And Nathanael's like, well, who? Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael says, really? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? But he thought he'd go with Philip and see. And when Jesus saw him coming, he says, here's a true son of Israel who is a man of integrity. And Nathanael very humbly said, well, how'd you know it was me, Lord? And he said, well, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. And Nathanael's like, wow, you must be the Messiah. And then Jesus said, do you believe it just because I told you you were under the fig tree? And then He said this, and I love this line, you will see greater things than this. As you follow the Lord Jesus in your life, as you come to worship Him, do you expect to see greater things? That's the divine anticipation that I think He wants us to have. And when we come together to worship, we do need to recognize God is seeking each and every one of us. We need to ask Him to open our eyes so we can see, and we need to expect Him to show up. Paul talks so much about this in the letter to the Ephesians. In the first couple of chapters, he talked about what it was an issue in their church, the division between Jewish believers and Gentile or non-Jewish believers. But he said, Christ has paid the price for everyone. We are all part of God's family. And he called it the mystery of God's plan to save everyone. And Paul was so enamored by this mysterious plan of salvation that God sent through Jesus that he wrote some words I want you to read with me today from the letter to the Ephesians chapter 3. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 943. We're going to start in verse 14 and read to the end of the chapter. But Paul has just given this message to the Ephesians about how God has saved them, all of them. And this is what he says starting in verse 14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. I love this passage. Can you hear Paul's passion? He thinks about these things. It drives him to his knees before God. And he worships Him. And then he prays for God's people that they can comprehend what is incomprehensible. That they can not only know Christ and experience Him, but be made complete by this relationship that comes from Him. But I love verse 20. I'm going to read it again. All glory to God who is able, through His mighty power at work, where? Within us, to do more than we might ask or think. That's the anticipation, I think, that God wants us to have. He can do more in us and through us because of Christ living in us. And just like with Nathaniel, we're going to see greater things than we've seen before. And I believe that for this church. And that's what this whole series is about. If we will stop going to church and if we will be the church, God will do amazing things through us, infinitely more than we might ask or think, to not only grow in our walk with Christ, but to encourage other people to follow that path as well. I think the final part of divine anticipation is that it's important to celebrate God's sightings. Let me explain what I mean. A lot of times when we come to church, it's pretty easy to have discussions about what's going on in the news or in the weather or how those Reds and Bengals doing, right? We call it small talk. And small talk is kind of easy because it's superficial. But what about when we came together as a church family? What about instead of talking about these things, what if we talked about ways that we saw God at work in our lives this week? You know, we experience this quite often in our adult Bible fellowship. There's a lot of times where, yes, we're reading a chapter and we're going to discuss it, but somebody says, hey, I got to tell you about something that happened this week. And it is awesome. And the great part about it is when one person shares a story about how they've seen God at work in their life or in our community, it encourages somebody else to say, well, check this out. Look what I saw. I don't know how many of you remember this show that was on CBS several years ago, Touched by an Angel. I love that show because it was all about God showing up in the ordinary events of people who were struggling in their lives. The underlying message is God sees and God cares and God provides. And that's who He is. And that's the wonderful thing about walking with Him and serving Him and walking together with other people who are worshiping Him and serving Him is because we get to experience it together. We get to encourage one another. Sometimes in discipleship training, I will share this illustration with people. I know you can't tell to look at me now, but when I was in high school, I used to run cross country. And every day after school, we had to practice. And that practice involved, can you guess? Running. So we all went together and we all ran. At one point, we had a coach that ran with us, which was pretty cool. But every day after school, we had practice. But on the weekends, there wasn't school, but we were still supposed to run. So we were on the honor system. Now, which do you think was easier to fulfill? My running practice during the week when I had a team that I ran with, or on the weekends when I had to do it myself? Much easier with the team. Absolutely. And the same thing is true when we follow Christ. It's much easier to do when we have the encouragement of others, because when we run together, we run stronger, and it's encouraging. And I think that was part of the message of this show, that God is with you, He sees you, and He wants to help you. But you got to be tuned in, and one of the best ways to get tuned in is by coming together with His people. Now we know that Jesus said He was going to have to go so that the Holy Spirit would come. And last year, we did a sermon series based on a book by this man, Francis Chan, that was called Forgotten God, and it was all about the Holy Spirit. And Francis Chan says in this book, I believe that the Holy Spirit is more obviously active in places where people are desperate for Him. They want Him. They recognize they need Him. And they are humbled before Him in worship. And they are not distracted by their pursuit of wealth or comforts. And if we want the Holy Spirit to be active in our lives, we need to be receptive to Him. So I want to ask this question. If you came to worship every Sunday with this sense of divine anticipation, how would things be different for you? How might you prepare even on Saturday night for being ready to worship Sunday morning? How might your Sunday morning routine be different? How might your punctuality for worship be different? How might your presence during worship be different? A lot of times we put a service together and we follow an order of service. Sometimes it's easy to slip into routine, isn't it? And I think that's why we need to be even more focused and conscious of what we are doing. A few years ago, a Christian music artist named Matt Redman wrote a song about this very thing. He called it Heart of Worship. And part of this song is confessional, and part of it is a determination that I want to do this right. For some of you, this might be a new song. If so, absorb it. If it's a familiar song, feel free to sing with it. But let it speak to your heart today.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, things appear. You're looking into my heart. Yeah. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, 'cause it's all about you. It's all
Father, thank you for the beautiful words to that song. And as we reflect on the way that sometimes we worship, help us, Father, to have a sense of divine anticipation. That when we come to worship, it's not about what we get out of it, but it's about the worship that we give to you. Thank you for laying this message on the heart of this musician who shared it with us. And please hear it as the cry of our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, remember the beginning theme song to this series, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." I hope each and every one of us will be there. But I want to ask, what about your family maybe that doesn't know God? What about your friends? What about your neighbors? What about the people with whom you work? What about the people who serve you where you eat and shop? You know, we have an opportunity not only to grow in the Lord ourselves, but to help other people grow to know Him and to love Him and to follow Him. So when the roll is called up yonder, it's not just about me being there. It's so they can be there too. My challenge for you today is this. Let's not go to church. Let's be the church. And this week, let's practice divine anticipation by recognizing that God is seeking you, asking God to open your eyes each day to the way He's working all around you, and by expecting God to show up and celebrating God's sightings. Would you pray again with me? Father, thank you. It's never too often to come to you, and what a convicting message today. Father, help us when we come together not to just go through the motions. Help us to recognize the purpose for coming together, to worship our Creator and our King. Open our eyes, Lord, so we can see things from your perspective. Help us as we gather together, even when there's two or three of us, to anticipate your presence, to anticipate your workings in our lives, and help us to celebrate those things in such a way we can encourage one another. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.